From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the 22nd day of May, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzolo of Brisk Management Commodities Incorporated. He's in Lafayette, Indiana. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard. He's the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, the House Ag Committee yesterday reviewed, flatly disagreed with, and then couldn't do anything about the new carbon fuels standards being proposed to U.S. EPA. And the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago says farmland values are down 6% in the Midwest. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories shortly. And then I'll help you kick off Memorial Day weekend by recalling just why poppies are such a big part of our remembrance. Closing Mark Report, of course, is a production of WILL. It's public radio from the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
In Chicago on a Friday afternoon, as we head into the Memorial Day weekend, futures finish like this. July wheat at 6.12.5, 19 cents higher. September at 6.38.5, up 19. And December at $6.61, up 19 cents. July corn at 4.30 1/4, up 6 and a quarter. September at 4.40 1/4, 6.5 higher. And December corn futures at $4.52, up 6.5 cents. March futures 4.61 3/4, up 6 1/4, and the May contract at 2010 at $4.68 3/4 a bushel. A settlement price there up 6 1/4. Soybeans July futures $11.66, down 9. August down 2.5 at $11.34, and then the rest of them were all in the green. September at 10.76 1/4, up 5 1/4. November at 10.31 1/2, 8 cents higher. January futures at 10.33 1/4. Up 8 1/4, and the March soybean futures today, $10.22 1/4, up 10 1/4. July bean meal, $3.75, down $4.20. August at $3.60.40, down $2.10 on the afternoon. August bean oil futures at $38.27 were up 13. June live cattle futures unchanged at $82.52 1/2, the August at $83.77 1/2. Up 55 cents. August feeders at 101.92 1/2, 25 cents higher. September up a nickel at 102.15. June lean hog futures 65.97 1/2, 75 cents higher. And the July contract at 67.57 1/2, finished the week 72.5 cents higher on a Friday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby crude oil futures finished the day with a settlement price at $61.67 for the July, 62 cents higher. June ethanol at $1.72, up 1 3/10 of a cent. Natural gas down 8 2/10 at $3.52 1/10. And the RBOB gasoline at $1.83 3/10. 3 4/10 higher on the afternoon. Heating oil, June contract there. A settlement price at 153 4/10, up 4 6/10. And June propane futures, 72.5 cents was the settlement price, down 9/10 on the afternoon. And the gold futures at 958.50, up $7.70 on the afternoon. The U.S. dollar at 79.99 is down 0.55 for the day. And the CRB index at 244.40 is up 2.04 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. For most areas, it should stay dry this afternoon, but where isolated thunderstorms form, locally heavy rainfall will occur, says our own Ed Kieser, because upper air winds are very weak and the storms will be slow movers. Right now, he says, and he just walked this into the studio to me, a few isolated cells are popping up in west-central Illinois from northwestern Sangamon County right into Menard County back to Pike County, so not too terribly far away from here in some portions of the state. Tonight, partly to mostly cloudy. Lows will range from 52 in the far northern parts of Illinois to 64 in the south. Those pop-up storms, of course, occurring from mostly Springfield on to the west. Tomorrow, a mix of clouds, some sunshine, a few widely scattered showers and thunderstorms. They'll pop up during the afternoon. Highs will generally range from 74 in the far northern part of Illinois to 86 in the south, but cooler, around 70 near Lake Michigan. More on the weather as we get closer to the bottom of the hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
It's a Friday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. On the line with us to take a look at the agricultural futures markets, Mike Zuzalo, Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. Hi, Mike.
Hello there, Todd.
Hey, it's crusty out there. The only good news about rainfall, if you've got it, is that if it's enough and not too much, should break out the crust a little bit so that if you've got a crop in the ground, it can come up and you won't have to use the hoe, I suppose.
It would be nice to not have to use that rotary hoe. That's exactly right. I think farmers are, the vast majority of farmers in our listening area are hoping they get a little bit of a shower this weekend because it's a lot harder to replant psychologically than to plant it for the first time.
You know, and you have to make too many decisions about that. Whether, you know, you look out there and the later we get into the season, the harder it is to make that replant decision simply because a really bad stand might yield as much as a brand new really good stand. So,
you know, I was traveling Monday and I was able to catch north of Indianapolis the radio show, and I heard that portion of it. I found that very interesting. That was really good stuff you guys presented.
All right, thanks much. And you know what, we'll have more of that again because I did another story with Emerson Nafziger. I recorded that earlier in the week and produced it. We'll hear it again next week about time everybody gets into the planting season or replanting season, I suppose. But today we need to deal with what happened in Chicago. There was an awful lot of green up there. What happened?
Well, three things probably drove the trade the most. The dollar was probably the number one suit as far as what hand guys were playing. Corn weather was big, and the bean spread was big again, Todd. I think for the week, the weather took kind of a backseat compared to the spread and compared to the dollar. But today it seemed to surface a little bit more in people's rhetoric and what they were talking about as far as the people we were in touch with. I think for the most part the corn weather has been downplayed in terms of not getting that much rain and expectations by the trade that planters are going to be able to roll in the wettest parts of the Corn Belt for the vast majority of the weekend, and that really only Sunday night through Tuesday is where the majority of the rain is going to be coming in. But Saturday and Sunday, in the trade's mindset, from what we could gather, they would think that that's going to be mainly wide open, and a good part of the corn will get planted in those saturated areas. So that, I think, is probably the biggest thing we need to walk into on Monday night when we open back up. That July Nov bean spread continued to fall and correct, and you know the trade's wondering whether this is just a technical correction or whether it's over for the July, and now it's August's turn to go up after this correction's over with, and that's kind of where they're leaning right now.
When we get to a holiday weekend like this, does this mean that it's imperative for you to be sitting at the desk on Monday night and watching that opening?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it really is, because the way this year, it's like Merrill and I were talking on the phone before the close. When would you have ever thought that the credit rating of the United States would ever be in jeopardy of losing the AAA status? And, you know, when would you ever think that something like that would occur right in the midst of planting delays and right in the midst of a very key three-day weekend and the seasonality of corn, beans, and wheat trading? So this year especially is very, very important because of these factors all coming together at one time. But every year it tends to be on race weekend the trade either decides that the trend is over with, or they go ahead and say, we're going to keep this trend for another 15 to 30 days.
Hey, the good news is it looks like they'll get the race in on Sunday, huh?
Yeah, it really does. I'm hoping Ed's right about that, because we've got a lot of people going to that, and they're real excited to see the lineup. Looks like a good race this year.
Well, tell me, I go back to this, what you talked about in the dollar and the credit rating of the United States. What happens if the credit rating gets dropped?
Well, I think the first thing that happens is the interest rates in the United States shoot higher, and the ability of us to sell debt onto the other countries is not going to be as easy. Now, it's important to realize what got this whole thing started was the idea that the S&P rating system, the S&P rating agency, was going to lower the United Kingdom's debt agency rating or their sovereign debt rating. So if it comes out that the United States is lowered with the United Kingdom and a bunch of other countries, well, that's, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats kind of mindset, I think, where else are you going to go? If they're all lower, who cares? It's the same as it was before they lower the rating. I think that's an important point to watch out for. But more to your point, if we see higher interest rates, I think that works directly against that fiscal stimulus, works directly against the monetary policy of what the Obama administration, what Congress is trying to do. I just wonder if this California bailout coming together with the cap and trade bill, coming together with the government maybe taking a majority stake in GM if they declare bankruptcy next week, I wonder if all these things are coming together and the currency trade is saying, is the U.S. going to be the one that is the last to come out of the hole instead of the first? Are we completely wrong in what our assessment is, that the U.S. will lead us out of this recession because of their policies? Could it be that these policies actually keep them down longer? And I think that's the big issue that we have to wait and see whether that happens or not, because if that is the issue and our interest rates shoot higher, I think probably the Fed and the Treasury are going to have to make a new game plan, and I think probably Congress is going to have to sit there and say, we better shut the checkbook, because if we keep giving out checks to people, it's only going to get worse for the U.S. dollar. And, you know, so we're walking a very historic fine line right now.
You paint a pretty somber picture as we head into the Memorial Day weekend.
Are there any bright spots? Yeah, it wouldn't be short-term. It's like one of the traders that I really respect in Chicago said today, well, if you see short-term interest rates get jacked up, that's just going to make traders buy commodities more. And he's absolutely right. In the historical sense of the fact of the matter is that when you get a weaker dollar and higher interest rates, that tends to make people go after commodities because it's a good inflation hedge. And so in the short term, it looks really, really nice. But it is down the road. I think everything we talk about in our analysis and when we talk to you on the radio, it always goes back to demand, whether it's aggregate demand, commodity demand, GDP. Those are the things that we always come back to and say, okay, how does this affect demand? And that's why that picture is painted more bleak, because eventually lower dollar and higher interest rates will hurt the world economy and its ability to recover and bring demand back.
You have a very good holiday weekend.
Okay, Todd, you too. And thank you to all our veterans out there.
Yes, indeed. Thanks much. And thank you, too. That is Mike Zuzlow. He's with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Dave Dickey will be here in a moment. He'll take us all the way through the ag news for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, the House Agriculture Committee held a hearing yesterday to review carbon fuel standard proposals being implemented by the Environmental Protection Agency and the California Air Resources Board. Ethanol groups made their case to members of Congress to get rid of land use provisions in the renewable fuels standard debate, but it was akin to preaching to the choir. House Ag Committee Chairman Colin Peterson and Ranking Member Frank Lucas have co-sponsored a bill that would strip the indirect land use provisions from the RFS and also expand the definition of renewable biomass. Peterson's committee, however, cannot mark up the legislation because it was referred to the House Energy and Commerce Committee. Senate Finance Committee Chairman Max Baucus and 15 other senators have introduced a bill that would ease trade and travel with Cuba. The bill would ease Cuba's method of paying for U.S. agricultural purchases by reinstating the definition of cash in advance that the Treasury Department used until the Bush administration changed it in 2005, and allowing U.S. banks to receive payments directly from Cuban banks. It would require the Agriculture Department for the first time to promote U.S. agricultural exports to Cuba as well. Farmland values in the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago District declined by 6% during the first quarter of 2009, the largest quarterly decline since 1985. Farmland prices tumbled 3% in Illinois, 4% in Indiana, and 7% each in Wisconsin and Iowa during the first 3 months of 2009. The amount of farmland offered for sale, the number of farms sold, and the total amount of acreage auctioned all fell below year-ago levels during the quarter. Potash Corporation of Saskatchewan says that it intends to curtail 2009 potash production by an additional 400,000 tons in a bid to cope with the sharp decline in demand for the crop nutrient. The Canadian producers said the new round of production cuts will bring the total reductions in production to 3.9 million tons year-to-date and 4.8 million tons for the 2008-2009 fertilizer year, which ends in just a few weeks. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. That second program will be posted to our website by about 6 o'clock this evening. We'll record at 4:30 this afternoon. The guest is Chris Hurt, Purdue economist, and Brian Maple, Pete Manhart, and Mike Georgie will all be in studio with me for Commodity Week. Recorded at 4:30, posted to the website at willag.org, and airs on our flagship radio station, WILL, in Urbana-Champaign, at 6 a.m. and 11:30 Saturday mornings. It's Commodity Week. We hope you enjoy the show. If you can't get to it on the radio station, visit our website at willag.org. Speaking of visiting places, a few years ago, I visited Ypres, Belgium. You know, ever since 1928, the people of that small community have blown what they call a last post for the men who died during World War I, sometimes called the Great War. At 8 o'clock, the Bugle Corps there in dress uniform assembles to pay homage, no matter the weather or the crowd. Today, as we start this Memorial Day weekend, we'll hear the last post from Ypres, Belgium. The village of Ypres was destroyed in the Great War, but Belgium was freed from Germany. From 1914 to 1918, more than 250,000 servicemen of the then British Empire lost their lives. Many of these brave soldiers, not only from Great Britain, but also from Australia, New Zealand, Canada, and many other lands, lie buried in the 154 war cemeteries which surround modern-day Ypres. A further 100,000 still have no known grave. Of these, 54,896 are commemorated by name on the Menin Gate along the city wall of Ypres. Every evening since 1928, the last post has been sounded beneath the great concrete arches of the Menin Gate. This tribute is played in honor of the men who fought and died at Ypres during the First World War.
These men have been chosen because their lives and deaths can tell us something about a terrible conflict in which they were involved. A conflict which shaped the course of the 20th century and which still has an influence on all our lives even today.
Ypres in Belgium is home to Flanders Fields, a place where for 4 years Allied forces fought back against the Germans. The trenches here, the entire battlefield was filled with mud. When it dried out, red poppies bloomed. We buy them every Memorial Day to honor the men who died for Belgium and the world. It is a way, a reason, to remember their stories.
These stories are stories of mud and blood, of unspeakable suffering and limitless human endurance. However, there are also stories of courage and devotion to duty, of comradeship and self-sacrifice.
Ypres,
They shall grow not old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun, and in the morning, we will remember them.
My uncle is buried out here somewhere.
Derek and Myrtle Holliday are from Lincolnshire, England.
He was my father's favorite brother.
They came to Ypres to watch the buglers blow the last post.
Our son is named after him. Sorry.
Derek Holliday has been trying to make his way to the Menin Gate in Ypres, Belgium, to see the last post ceremony for several years. It took an emotional toll on him and his wife, Myrtle. They're eternally grateful for what their ancestors did for them during the two world wars. They're also a bit fearful that the younger generations will not understand the magnitude of the sacrifice.
I don't know whether the younger generation, because there hadn't been a war for 55 years, I suppose, except for, you know, the minor ones, I don't suppose it's got the same impact.
A conflict which shaped the course of the 20th century and which still has an influence on all our lives, even today.
For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
It's a Friday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. On the line with us today to take a look at the agricultural cash grain market is Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Bruce is the general manager there of the co-op's 10 central Illinois locations. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
I bet it's quiet in all 10 of them.
Yes, it is. We've got a planning frenzy going on right now. A lot of activity there. I didn't know there were that many rotary hoes out in the countryside is what I've seen running this week.
I bet there were lots of horse trading to get to them. But they keep those in the barn just in case of a year like this, I suppose, out of sight. And they bring them out and they run them fast, don't they, across those fields?
Wow. Yes, they do.
And they throw the dust, but the corn gets to come through. And if they've got beans in the ground, which is unlikely, I guess they don't have to break their neck coming through either. Tell me about this cash grain market at this point and how it views the weekend.
Right now, this is going to be the first of our big summer long holiday weekend. What is the forecast to look like Monday night markets? And I think that's what we're going to watch. You see what the forecast looks like, how much rain we get the first part of the week, and how soon we can get back in. A huge jump, I would guess, in planting progress by Tuesday night, I guess, instead of Monday night. Every hour we can hold off will make a big difference right now on when the rain comes through. I range from people, I have some people who are finishing up on corn to some who haven't started. So it's all over the place right now.
It'll be interesting to watch that number come out on Tuesday. Do you think that at this point, is your cash bid starting to close up to the price in Chicago?
We have seen the basis improve over the last couple weeks, and actually we've seen new crop improve. That's really the first time we've seen new crop do much changing here for several months. Beans, we've seen the old crop improve another nickel over the course of the week. You know, we've kind of a change in the market as we're sitting here and looking at harvest starting a month later. That's making that carryout a lot less burdensome. We're going to be using a lot of corn up in the interim.
Bruce, I thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard with Ludlow Co-op.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Illinois Governor Pat Quinn says he won't sign a capital construction plan, quote, until we finish our work. Quinn said today he wants another $400 million added to the building proposal for high-speed rail. And he says he won't approve a construction program until lawmakers send him an operating budget and ethics reforms. Lawmakers have sent Quinn a $30 billion outline for rebuilding roads, schools, and other structures, the first major initiative in 10 years. It would raise liquor taxes and license fees, legalize video poker, and expand lottery ticket sales to pay for it. The head of the task force that recommended a major revamp for the University of Illinois' global campus says the door is now open to a range of existing online learning programs at the Urbana, Chicago, and Springfield campuses. Education professor Nick Berbulis says the decision by university trustees yesterday to reform their online degree program should help combine new online learning initiatives with existing programs and extend online learning to on-campus students, not just distance learners. Indiana reported a 9.9% unemployment rate in April, down from 10% in March. State labor officials say some hard-hit northern Indiana counties saw bigger declines, although their rates are still high. Meanwhile, Illinois' 9.4% jobless rate represents an increase of 0.4 of a percentage point from March. Former Illinois First Lady Patty Blagojevich is headed to Costa Rica to appear on the reality TV show I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. She told Chicago radio station WVON that appearing on reality TV doesn't seem so scary after years in local politics. The wife of former Governor Rob Blagojevich says she gets to bring one luxury item with her. She chose a pillow. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason in the studios on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois, right here in Champaign County at the Illinois State Water Survey. We're joined to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast by state climatologist Jim Angel today. Good afternoon to you, Jim.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, I think see that things are changing rather rapidly for the weekend. A few pop-up storms in the western part of Illinois, according to our own Ed Kieser this afternoon. What do you see?
Yeah, if we look at overall, I think maybe a chance a little bit this afternoon, and that's going to be kind of a maybe typical of this weekend with with warm, dry weather. Now we're going to see maybe a few pop-up storms, but really the next significant chance of precipitation isn't until Monday and Tuesday of next week. I think by and large we're going to see very warm temperatures, lots of sunshine, good drying conditions out there over the next 2 or 3 days.
Let's concentrate on the Monday, Tuesday. When we talked yesterday with our meteorologist, he was thinking that if that developed and it came in, it would be pretty heavy and would maybe bring at least an inch to a good portion of the eastern Corn Belt and all the way up through Chicago in Illinois. What do you see? Has it changed at all?
Yeah, it's pretty much the same story right now. I was just looking at the forecast of the precipitation amounts, and has the potential of being up to 1 to 2 inches across Illinois. Now, that doesn't mean everybody's going to get that, but that's just kind of the upper end of what they think might happen. As it comes probably in the form of thunderstorms, there's probably going to be some areas that may get that amount, but I think it won't be quite as widespread as everybody's going to get that.
You're a climatologist. Tell me how the month of May is stacking up in comparison to others, please.
Yeah, well, if you look at May so far, first of all, May is, for most places in Illinois, our wettest month of the year. Average May precipitation around the state is about 4 to 4.5 inches, and we're actually pretty much already have in most places the normal already, and here we are only at day 22 of the month. So I suspect even the areas that are maybe a little low are going to catch up with this next bout of rainfall. So I think in the books, May will close out as being above normal on precipitation, and that's followed by the April that was also exceptionally wet.
And if you look into June, what do you see?
Well, if you look in June, the forecast from the Climate Prediction Center is actually not, they don't have too much going on for us in either temperature or precipitation. They really backed off on that. Same with the three-month forecast, the temperature and precipitation, all what I call fairly neutral or equal chances. So they really don't see any increased risk of being wetter conditions following on. I will say historically, though, that when we've had a wet spring like this, it does tend to hold down the really hot weather in the summertime because of all those wet soils All the energy from the sun goes into evaporation and not heating up the atmosphere quite so much. So we tend to dodge, you know, the 100-degree weather when we have those kinds of conditions.
Jim, thanks much.
You're welcome.
Jim Angel, Illinois State Water Survey. That's the closing market report.